You're listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. Before we get started, I want to personally invite you to Nashville this October for the Pipeline Conference. This year's theme is all about succession. We'll be talking succession all the way from senior leadership at a church down to the preschool volunteer. So this conference is really for everyone. Bring your whole staff. Bring a buddy. Call a friend. Speakers include John Piper, Bob Russell, H.B. Charles, Tom Rainer, Tammy Heim, and many, many more. Don't miss this chance to get an early bird price, which ends July 31st. To register, go to myleadershippipeline.com. Again, that's myleadershippipeline.com. Now, enjoy the podcast.
Welcome to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. My name is Daniel Im, and I'm the Director of Church Multiplication at Lifeway Leadership. And I'm here with Todd Adkins, who is the Director of Leadership here at Lifeway Leadership. And we are pleased to be with Bob Russell, who is the Pastor Emeritus of Southeast Christian Church, a small little congregation up in Kentucky right there, and an author of many books, including the one most recently, After 50 Years of Ministry, 7 Things I Do the Same and 7 Things I Do Differently. Bob, we're so pleased to have you here on our special podcast, highlighting our upcoming Succession Conference, and that you'll also be there at the conference with us.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm glad to be with you guys, and I'm looking forward to that conference. You know, that's such an important subject, and I think it can be of value to everybody who comes.
Well, you also wrote another little book about succession. So tell us a little bit about that, and then tell us a little bit about yourself, your background and your history and kind of where you've been and what you're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, I did write a little book called Transition Plan that I've gotten good feedback about, because the transition that we went through at Southeast Christian Church went really well. And I've had a number of people ask me what were the secrets. And I don't know that there's any one formula that works every place, but I share in that book the things that worked for us. I actually came to Southeast Christian Church when I was fresh out of Bible college in 1966. I was 22 years old.
Wow.
The church was meeting in a basement at the time with about 120 people, and I started preaching, and it was fertile soil. I mean, you'd have to work hard to mess up this church, and it went so well, and it grew, and I stayed for 40 years, and at the end of 40 years, I decided at age 62 that it was time for me to step aside and pass the baton on to a guy named Dave Stone. Hmm. And we had 2 teaching pastors, Dave Stone and Kyle Eidelman. And I, for the last 11 years now, have tried to have mentoring groups for preachers, and I travel and speak. And the last decade has been a wonderful one for me, and the church has continued to do well without me.
Excellent. Well, I mean, you know, your story is an amazing one. Yeah. In that we've seen 2 generations of succession that, you know, came out of it. And so I think that's one of the, definitely for, you know, a church of the size of Southeast Christian and the weight of its ministry, to see that happen and to see that happen well, and the continuity of leadership and mission and vision that came with that is just a beautiful, wonderful thing. Knowing you and having spent time with you on 1 or 2 occasions, I've always described it as there's like 5 or 6 people that I'm actually convicted by after I meet with them. And you're one of those people.
I make you feel guilty, right?
You do. You and David Platt and a couple other people. I'm like, man, I'm such a horrible person. What you did and when you did it, I mean, you know, obviously you still had plenty of gas left in the tank and still do, and still continue to pour into young leaders. So I want, before we move any further, and I do want to get straight into conversation about succession, but I want you to tell people what you do with young pastors.
Well, once a month, I invite 8 pastors from across the country to meet at Country Lake Camp, where there's a real nice lodge. It's about 45 minutes outside of Louisville. And we spend 3.5 days just talking about ministry. And I call this retreat a time of refreshing. Hmm. And, you know, there are all kinds of huge conferences that preachers can go to, and they're excellent. But this is not one where they're sitting down and just listening to famous preachers or leaders. It's interactive. They minister to each other. They can ask questions. We take some time to play. And it's a lot of discussion about ministry and some of the tough things that we encounter. But I've done, I think, 84, 85 of those retreats in the years that I've been retired. And it's a strange thing. If you'd have told me when I first retired I'd do 85 or 86 of these things, I'd get burned out on them. But I look forward to every one, and it really energizes me. That's just amazing. completed one yesterday. So it's a real gratifying thing. And I think the guys that come get a lot out of it.
And that's why, good people, that's one of the many reasons, as a leader who talks about leadership incessantly and then studies leadership incessantly, that is why I'm convicted when I'm with Bob Russell.
Yeah, man, how do we get into one of those groups?
I know. I want to go to Uncle Bob's camp.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling me Uncle, not Graham. Appreciate it.
Well, let's do get into the topic of the day. We do want to talk about succession. I want to be careful when we're looking at the conference and we're speaking of succession. A lot of times we think of replacement, and what we want to think about is really reproduction. And so so many times leadership and especially a transfer of leadership is seen as, you know, a simple passing of the baton and it's one moment, and recognizing that, you know, when we do it, people see it as the sprint relay race. And I'm like, no, this is more like a 1 miler of a relay race. And we want to make sure that we have a full pipeline of succession at every level. So with that in mind, I just wanted to kind of set up really where we're going. But why is leadership development important in the context of succession?
Well, I think a couple of reasons there. One is we all want to multiply our influence. We're dedicated to the kingdom of God, and we want the kingdom to succeed far beyond our reach. I think that's why Moses had Joshua and Elijah had Elisha and Paul had Timothy. You know, we're going to multiply our influence. And I just talked with a retired pastor the other day who had preached at a church of 300 or 400 people for almost 40 years. But I asked him how many kids had gone on to Bible college and in some kind of ministry from his church. He said 74.
Wow. And
man, oh man, 74. He's multiplied his own influence many times over. But the second reason is for the continuity of ministry. There is going to come a day when we're not leading a ministry. And it's not a compliment to us if when we leave, the ministry falls apart or declines.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm thinking about a children's director that we had, and she was with us a long time, and she was very good. But she had a disagreement with her supervisor about direction, and so she took a ministry at another church. But when she left 3 or 4 people in the children's department who knew everything she was doing. And I mean, we didn't skip a beat. Even though she was a talented girl, she had trained others in the children's department to do what she did. And for the continuity of our ministry, it was a great thing. And the same applies to the minister. I mean, there is going to come a time when we grow so old we're not going to be effective, or we get hit by a bus, or we die. And I think we've got to look at our church and say, who's going to lead this when I'm gone? If we're really the shepherd of the sheep, we're going to be concerned about who's going to lead these sheep to pasture.
Yeah.
Who's gonna nurse up their wounds? And it's not all about us. It's about these people. So one of the reasons we need to talk about succession is to acknowledge our own mortality and our own aging, and face the fact that we want to do well when we're gone.
Yeah, and part of the idea of this year's conference, succession at every level, is sometimes it's because of age that you're saying, hey, I need to pass on the reins here at this leadership in this position. Other times it's a different season in life, right? Maybe it's a a wife who's a children's director and has kids and has another kid and says, you know, I need to pass this ministry on because I need to take a little bit of a hiatus until my kids are a little bit older. Well, succession is as important of a conversation for her as it is for the 65-year-old handing the reins off of his church as well.
That's a good point. And I'll tell you another factor. Sometimes the church grows beyond our giftedness.
Hmm.
And if so, we need to train somebody to understand the DNA of our ministry and the buttons to push when it comes time for us to step aside. For example, let's go back to a children's director. There might a small church might get a children's director who is great with kids.
Yeah.
But that church grows, and all of a sudden they need somebody who is an administrator or a recruiter who can train others. And that's not necessarily the gift of the present children's director who's great with kids. And so she may need to say, okay, I'm going to continue to work with kids, but somebody else is going to have to step into my role. And if she's been training somebody and helping somebody be familiar with what's going on, you've got, again, the continuity of that ministry.
Yeah. I mean, the next question is really related to this. It's how can a pastor or leader discern when it's time to leave? And maybe as you start off that question, perhaps you could share with us how you discerned that time for yourself when you left Southeast Christian.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's going to vary according to every ministry. Well, the thing that initiated my concern for succession was I read that book by Joel Gregory on Too Great a Temptation, when it talked about the difficult transition that took place at First Baptist Church in Dallas. And it just really hurt that church because the transition wasn't smooth. And I thought, that can't happen at our church. We got to do better than that. Then the question was exactly what you're asking. When is it time to leave? And I think there are several factors. One was I began to look at age, that somewhere between 65 and 75, we begin to lose effectiveness unless we're really a rare person. So we have to face the reality of age. I had to face the reality of longevity. I said, when I'm 62, 63 years old, I'll have been here 40 years. And it is hard for people to follow somebody for a long period of time. Of course, a lot of our people were new, but I said, you know, the children of Israel put up with Moses for 40 years. that's long enough for these people to put up with me. But another factor, there are two other factors I can think about. One is the availability of people who can do the job.
Hmm.
I had an associate who was really capable and who wanted the job. And if I asked him to wait another 5 or 6 years, somebody else was going to gobble him up somewhere. And so one of the things that helped me to say it was time for me to leave was I had a guy who could step in and do it. And if I waited, I might lose him. Wow. But one other factor for me was energy. As we get older, or as we've been in a church, it's hard to reproduce the same amount of energy for a similar kind of program. Let me give you an example. I went through 5 building programs.
Ooh.
That means 5 fundraisers.
Wow.
And when I went through the last one, I said, oh, thank goodness, this is the last building we're going to build. I won't have to go through another fundraiser. But then toward the end of my ministry, all of a sudden, the satellite church concept became popular. And we could see, boy, that's a great idea. But I didn't think that I had the energy that was needed to get behind and push that project through. And I thought, you know what, this is the right thing to do, but it's also a sign that I need to pass this on to somebody else who will get more excited about it than I would, and it's time to step aside.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, energy, the availability of another leader. Right. I mean, just time, length of service. I mean, it's.
I will say this. Yeah. I think there are churches all over America that had a great succession plan in place that was ruined by 5 more years. Five more years.
I have a friend years ago that said that he preached the Mount Carmel Christian Church in Atlanta, Jack Ballard. He was a great guy. He said, I preached at Mount Carmel Christian Church for 44 years. It should have been 40. And that's the case so many times, that five more years. And I have seen so many guys in the waning years, their final few years, tear down or allow to deteriorate the very ministry that they built up. And I was determined, I wanted to get out on top.
Okay, so let's get to our next question. How would you encourage a pastor or church leader who is currently in the process of transition, how would you encourage them to hand off the reins?
Well, I've got to be careful I don't take too long to answer this question, because there's so many thoughts that come to my mind. But one is, be decisive. Make up your mind what you're going to do and when you're going to step aside and stick to it. You know, in a race, when they pass the baton, there are two lines marked on the track, and the baton has to be passed between those two lines. And I think one of the things a preacher or anybody has to do is to say, okay, this is the date that I'm going to be finished with this particular ministry, and then not blink, because there are going to be some bumps in the road. There are going to be some questions. I announced to our congregation my transition plan, and several weeks later, some guys took me aside and said, we don't like your transition plan. We think you're leaving too soon. We'd like for you to reconsider. And that was really good for my ego, you know? But all I had to do was blink and say, well, I've had second thoughts, and the thing's going to fall apart. And I just think you have to be decisive and do what you're going to say you're going to do. But something else, you've got to be willing to swallow your ego repeatedly. Somebody asked me why there are so few churches and departments that have succession plans at work. And I say, I think it's because it's so hard. It's hard on your ego. When we all have egos, and we want to be needed, and we want to be liked, and we like feel like nobody can do it like we do. And boy, you start planning succession, and all of a sudden your ego is wounded because other people are going to be able to do it.
Yeah,
I'll never forget saying to a secretary came to me and said, could you do a funeral Friday? I said, no, I can't. I've got an appointment. Ask Dave Stone, my associate, to do it. And she said, well, he was their first choice, but he couldn't do it and wondered if you could.
That is awesome.
It's easy for you guys to giggle. But I don't care who you are, that hurt, that there's it just cuts at your heart a little bit. Mm. And I always say, if there's no fear, there's no courage, because you're just foolhardy. And if there's no ego, there's no humility. But you've got to be willing to be humble enough to swallow your ego and say, you know what, it's not about me. He's got to increase and I've got to decrease, and it's more about Christ than it is about me. And we've got to really believe that what we're doing is the right thing, and we've got to take delight when our ministry does better without us. Some guys and some girls feel threatened when they leave and it does more poorly. But an analogy I like to think about is your child. When your child goes off to college, you want your child to be able to cope with college. You don't want your child calling home after 3 days and say, oh, mom and dad, I miss home so much, I can't stand it, I'm coming home, I'm not able to cope. You may think that's a compliment to you, but you've done your job poorly, because your job as a parent is to train that child to get along without you.
Yeah.
And the same is true in our ministry. One of our jobs is to train our people to be able to cope without us, because the allegiance is to Christ, not to us.
Yeah, so if a listener has been just processing what you've said up until this point, and they've discerned, okay, maybe I do have someone in place, or maybe I'm getting to the point where I need to figure out and make this transition, and they're at that point, right? So they've come to one of your retreats, and they're like, I think I need to do this. What advice would you give them to say, okay, I need to start the process of handing off the reins? How should I do that?
Okay, I think you have to be willing to relinquish responsibility to the individual that you have chosen. And you back off. For example, when Dave Stone was selected as our successor, then every year he would have more times that he was preaching than the previous year. And when there were committee assignments. For example, we were choosing our next executive pastor. And I said, Dave, you probably need to head this committee up because this new executive pastor will still be in place when I leave, and you're going to have to work with him. And we need to praise this person to in public and to the people that they will oversee, and encourage them and nudge them where you think they can improve, but encourage them where they're doing well. But that requires frequent communication with this person. That means that there needs to be some kind of weekly meeting in which you're sharing ideas and exchanging what works and what doesn't work. So mentoring isn't so much a formal meeting as it is just spending time together and rubbing shoulders together in informal occasions. But there has to be frequent communication between the mentor and the successor.
So talk to me for a minute about, once you have made the decision, I'm going to transition this ministry. I'm going to transition this well. And I've chosen a date certain. How are the buckets of your time broken down between continuing to run and lead the ministry, preparing a successor, and then preparing a life outside of ministry in the church worth going to, so that you don't, so that you don't blink? Like, how are those? Is it simply, the running of the church is ramping down and those other things are ramping up more and more toward the end? Or what does that look like?
Yeah. In a relay race, the guy handing off the baton has to run full speed until the baton is received. If he slows down, there's going to be a step or two lost in the race. And one of the things that we have to be committed to is that we're not going to ease up. We're going to give full attention to what we're doing. I think it is important that you retire to something and you're thinking about what you're going to do. There's a carrot out there. But I wouldn't recommend, I'm going to lay the groundwork for my next chapter. I think we give almost full attention to what we're doing until it's over. And then once the baton is passed, the guy who's passed the baton doesn't run alongside the runner trying to yell at him. He runs, trots across the infield and stands at the finish line and cheers him on. So I think that we go full speed until the baton is passed, and then we start giving our attention to the next phase. I tried to not be a lame duck leader. People are afraid that if they announce they're going to retire or they're going to step aside from their ministry at a certain time, then the last few months you're a lame duck leader. So one of the ways I avoided that was 6 months before my retirement date, with the help of the elders in the church, I announced that Dave Stone was now officially the senior minister of the church. I would still preach the designated times that I was supposed to, but if you had questions, you take them to Dave Stone. He's now the official leader of the church. You got any criticisms, you definitely take it to Dave Stone and not. I think that helped us some, helped maybe not to be a lame duck at the end, but I think we need to keep going as hard as we can until the day that we step aside.
Yeah, there's something that I've heard from a few people saying one of the most dangerous things to do, maybe not dangerous, but one of the things that you probably don't want to do is take over and be a lead pastor from someone who's been there with a long tenure, like 20 plus years. So what advice would you give? Because it's gone really well at Southeast Christian, and you were there for quite a long time. But can you address that, I guess, that myth, or maybe it's a reality, or maybe there are ways to avoid that?
Yeah. Well, I think that's going to be difficult no matter how well the transition goes. Okay. Because there are people who have loyalty to a preacher, and you, or in any department, same thing is true. You've been there through some difficult times or joyous times, and they feel closer to you than they do the successor. And there is a sense in which when a person who has led a long time leaves, it's almost like a death in the family. There's an empty chair there. And that's just part of it. That's part of the church maturing and people maturing. But I think there are ways to ease that some. And for us, it was for Dave and I to share the pulpit.
Okay.
And for the me to stay out of the pulpit, to decrease the number of times I even made announcements. And with the Sundays that I wasn't preaching, I didn't get up and make announcements or have communion meditation. I just stayed away so that the congregation became familiar with Dave Stone leading, and hopefully we're exalting Jesus Christ. Also, I think it's really helpful if the person leaving endorses and praises the successor publicly, so people see that he has confidence in the person taking over. Then the person taking over is really wise if they make a minimal amount of changes in the first few months. There's a real temptation for somebody who's eager and has new ideas and good ideas to be so excited about a new ministry or new direction. I heard Fred Craddock say one time, you don't rearrange the furniture in the room of a disoriented person. And there is a sense in which a long-term leader, when he or she steps aside, people are a little disoriented, and they need stability more than they need dramatic change at that time.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Now, before this, you had started into this next question, which is how do you leave well? And you had mentioned that when you were doing this transition, making this succession transition, that you're giving all of your attention to where you're at today. So can you tease that out a little bit more? Because part of the tension is that, hey, you have a family still to support. How are you going to provide in that way? Maybe there are some pastors who did save well and put money away, and others
there are
maybe
people
didn't.
That are still in the pulpit today, and they cannot afford to retire. They cannot afford to transition. And some of the reasons why they stay for too long is they haven't built that retirement up to be able to do it. So what are some of the things that you can do to prepare yourself to leave well? Mm-hmm.
I think the church can really help out there too. If the church starts a 401k plan early on and helps the people on staff to be wise investors, then when it comes time for them to retire, they have the resources to do that. And you know, there's a lot about financial planning, but I'm thankful for a church that was really generous and helpful to me. But if you need to continue to have income, then think about maybe going and preaching in a place that would really love to have you. I have a friend, Ben Merrill, who retired from a mega church in California at 65. He decided that he wanted to travel and speak, and he located in St. Louis, but he took a tiny little church of about 100 people at age 65. It was near the airport in St. Louis. And they understood that he was going to be gone much of the week. But that church grew to be 3,000 people. He retired again at 83. Like, the average age of the church was 29.
Wow.
He had
that's
the time
legit
of his life. And it really, you know, he wasn't looking over his shoulder wondering whether people wanted him to leave. I mean, they hired
him. He didn't care.
But if you feel like, hey, my ministry here is winding down, I'm really questioning about my age, go find some small church somewhere. But I guarantee you, do not take a church 3 miles down the street. And I see so many guys who step aside, and then there's some people who are disgruntled with the new guy, and they come to them and say, well, if you'd start a church, we'd be, and their ego is stroked, and it's unethical to start a church where you're draining off some of those people. But maybe there's a ministry. Not everybody has to leave the church. I needed to leave because of my leadership style and the longevity. But I encounter guys who have a pretty good transition plan, who are strong in their pastoral gifts. And the new minister says to them, I want you to stay. You stay and you visit the hospitals and you do counseling and I'll do the preaching and we'll be hand in glove. And sometimes that works. So every transition plan is different. But I think the majority of times for the for the sake of the successor, it's better for the predecessor to get out altogether, so people aren't reading his or her expression or going to them and say, how do you like this? I am so thankful that when I left Southeast Christian Church, I said, for a year, I'm not coming back. And Dave Stone, my successor, is thankful too. It was the right thing.
Yeah, that's good.
Good deal. All right, so here's our last question. What are some ways to pour into the next generation of leaders to make sure they are ready to take your place?
Well, I think it takes some perception to be able to spot people who have both the gift and the passion to be a leader. And sometimes, like if you're in the youth department, there's some volunteers who just bubble up above everybody else, and you can see they really relate to the kids. Or the music department, there are people who not only have are gifted musically, but they have some leadership gifts, and people respond to them. You got to be perceptive and spot those people and begin to give them individual attention and whisper in their ear, put their arm around them, and say, you know, I think you would be a great leader in this department someday. Let's have lunch. Come early some night. Let's sit and talk and stay in communication about what's going on. And slowly you encourage them and teach them as much as they're teachable. But you have to be perceptive to spot those people and then be willing to spend some time with them. It was awkward for me at first. I mentioned earlier that I used to think of mentoring as carving out an hour a week and getting four or five guys in my office and pouring my life into them. I heard guys use that phrase, pour your life into them. Well, I met with some guys in about a half hour. I didn't have anything left to say. So I discovered that you learn so much more just by association. So I would say to an intern or to an associate, hey, I'm riding over here to this funeral. You want to ride with me? Or how about going to lunch? Or I've got a speaking engagement up here in Indiana that's an hour and a half away. You want to ride with me? And just being in the car or just observing in encounters, I think people learn a lot better that way than they do in a structured meeting.
Wow. Well, I know I've certainly appreciated this conversation, and I know that a lot of the pastors and church leaders who hear this and even business leaders are going to appreciate this conversation as well. Thank you, Bob, so much for sharing this time with us. We're very excited that you're coming to the conference. It's an interesting thing to look at the different pastors who have done transition in the last 10 or 15 years, to see the ways that they've done it. And man, I'm so excited to be able to share your story with the people that attend.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. We've had a really good experience. And like we've said, there are a variety of ways to do it. But I think we all can learn from one another. This is kind of a new concept in recent years. But boy, it's one that needs to be discussed.
Yeah. Thank you for living it out. Thank you for doing it well and for continuing to be a model for all the generations of pastors that have yet to do it.
Thanks for listening to the Five Leadership Questions podcast. Before you go, we want to invite you one more time to join us in Nashville this October 11th through 13th for the Pipeline Conference. Don't miss the early bird pricing. It ends July 31st. It's important to also note this conference did sell out last year. So if you're planning on attending, go ahead and get in early.